This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 17th of January 2025. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. And may I introduce our readers for this week, Heather Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
Noel Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
Jane Harding.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Peter Lydiard. And so we begin with our usual regular notices. The first is to say, if you know of someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861229. That is 01962 861229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to your memory stick. And as you listen to the recording, remember you can use the buttons on your playback box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen to them again. And for those of you with computers or tablets, apart from using the memory stick in the box provided, you can load it onto your own device. You can also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. Just go to the website, click on News at the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. The recordings are listed in date order, the most recent first on the list. And you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on AWAS Community Radio every Saturday at 5 p.m. That's on a DAB channel. Just retune your DAB radio and search for AWAS. And you can also listen to us reading the news as a podcast via the Hampshire Chronicle website. So on with our usual headline stories. The first to be read by Heather is headed, Opening Begins, A New Era at Surgery.
Thank you, Peter. A landmark GP surgery in Winchester has inaugurated its brand new building. Staff at the recently completed St Clement's Surgery on Upper Brook Street celebrated the occasion on Monday, January the 13th, as they finalised their move from the old workplace just a few hundred yards in Tanner Street. St Clement's is one of three GP surgeries in Winchester, with around 17,000 patients, and it's the only one still based in the city centre. Winchester actor Tommy Jessop was the guest of honour, cutting the ribbon and a specially made cake and officially ringing in a new era for the practice. Giving an impromptu speech, line of duty star Tommy, who's been a St Clement's patient since birth, reminded everyone that he had dug the first shovel full of earth to kick the building work off in the autumn of 2022. Also present was senior practitioner Susie Burns, who was delighted with the new facility. She said, "The staff are really excited. If you could see the old building where we've come from, it was actually falling down. The new surgery has lovely, nice, bright rooms. We were working in rooms that weren't big enough. The main thing really is that we've been through lots of things over the years and we've got a really good team now. The team has also been bolstered by specialists who can cover a variety of patients' needs. We don't just have the GPs and the nurses. We also have a visiting paramedic, so if someone's ill at home, he can go and visit them," said Dr. Burns. As well as this, the surgery has mental health staff and a plethora of different rooms for the medics. While the building work began 2 years ago, the plans for a new surgery have been in the pipeline for far longer, explained Dr. Burns. The new facility is a joint project between the practice, NHS Hampshire and Isle of Wight, and developer Assura. It has a development value of around £3.5 million. Including 15 consulting rooms, 3 treatment rooms, admin facilities, a large reception waiting areas and staff parking. Only the parking area remains to be finished. The grand opening for the surgery will be held on February the 14th. The other surgeries in Winchester are St Paul's on Oram's Arbour and Friars Gate in Wick.
Thank you, Heather. Noel, your headline, please.
Russian bounty on soldier's head. parents fear as man fights on Ukraine front line. The parents of a Winchester man who is fighting the Russians in Ukraine have spoken of their fear as their son has become a wanted man. Simon Headley, 40, who attended King's School and later worked in private security, is currently serving with the Ukrainian Armed Forces. Since he left 13 months ago, his mum and dad, who asked not to be named, say the brutal realities of war have taken their toll. "He's full of shrapnel," said his mother. "He's been wounded 9 times, and he got his leg burnt because the Russians are using white phosphorus. There are also emotional scars. His friend was captured and has been murdered," she continued. "He's an Australian. His aim is not to be captured, because you'll be tortured and you'll be shot." Simon's mother was speaking about Oscar Jenkins, who was reportedly captured and killed by the Russians. Now a pro-Putin Telegram channel has released some of Simon's details from his social media accounts as the GRU, Russian military intelligence, targets his battalion. His mum said, "It's thoroughly nasty and it's done to intimidate. And no, it isn't going to intimidate." "Am I worried?" "Yes," said Simon's father. "He's got a $10,000 bounty on his head." The couple, who still live in Winchester, also spoke of the close shaves their son has been through, including one in which the Russians overwhelmed his squadron. "They were in a hot spot. The Russians overran it," said his mum. "And so the advice from headquarters was, hide. We'll get you when we can get back in. Simon concealed himself in the rubble of a blown-up building until early morning, when he and his fellow soldiers were rescued. Simon's father, who was aware his son was in danger, said, "I didn't sleep. I was absolutely beside myself. It was just horrible. It was absolutely heart-wrenching." Before he went to Ukraine, Simon worked as an area manager providing security for migrants housed in hotels. His father said, "He's extremely anti-racist, and always has been. He's a humanitarian, shall we say." Explaining Simon's decision to fight, his mother said, "His life went to poo over here in the UK. He separated from his wife. Everything went wrong, so he was like, okay, I'm going to go." Simon's parents say he has fallen in love with the country. "He's planning on living in Ukraine if he can, depending on the outcome of the war," said his dad.
Thank you, Nell. Jane, your headline, please.
And my headline is EV charging super hub to include a Starbucks. A new Starbucks cafe will open at the UK's largest rapid charge super hub near Winchester. The cafe, which is due to open this spring, will be located at the Instavolt super hub just off the A34 at Three Maids Hill. The opening is part of a partnership between Instavolt and Starbucks licensee Cobra Coffee, with a new cafe being the first standalone partner to provide refreshments at an Instavolt hub. Delvin Lane, CEO of Instavolt, said, "Our other super hubs are located at food and beverage locations or retail spaces, all of which have their own facilities for customers to refresh and recharge before they get back on the road. This will be the first on-site refreshment partnership for Instavolt at one of our super hubs. It will also be the first time Cobra Coffee, a Starbucks UK franchise business partner, has provided a Starbucks cafe at an EV super hub. The Winchester Superhub, which is easily accessible from the M3, will have 44 accessible charging bays, including extra-long van bays and drive-through bays for towing vehicles. It will also have a children's play area and toilets, which will be available 24/7. Mr. Lane said, "We're delighted to be able to work with globally recognised brands to be able to offer our drivers a great charging experience. In addition to the Starbucks cafe, amenities at this flagship site will include a children's play area and toilets available 24/7. As well as the convenience of contactless payment and an ultra-rapid reliable charge, families will be able to enjoy a break while the kids can stretch their legs in the play area. Everyone can recharge and be back on the road in no time." The new cafe is expected to create 14 new jobs. Mark Smith, Group CEO of Southern Co-op, owners of Cobra Coffee, said, "Well, we're really excited to be bringing the Starbucks experience to the UK's largest rapid EV superhub, creating 14 new jobs and playing our part in decarbonising travel. We have a real ambition across all our businesses to act on climate change, So alongside access to renewable and fast charging, our site will be built to high environmental standards where customers will not only be able to recharge their cars, but also personally with their favourite Starbucks beverages and food. The Winchester Superhub is part of InstaVolt's mission to install 11,000 ultra-rapid chargers in the UK and Ireland. And this is accompanied by an artist's impression. It does look like a photograph of what the EV ultra-rapid charging superhub will look like at Three Maids Hill, with all the cars lined up, trees all the way round so that it's not too visible, solar panels providing some energy, and plenty of spaces for everybody to enjoy their coffee or have a play in the playground.
Thank you, Jane. My headline story is In the Park Venue Closing. And In the Park, in case you don't know, is the name of the restaurant, and In is spelt I-N-N. In the Park Venue Closing. A Winchester drinking and dining spot has announced its closure. In the Park, which launched during the pandemic in October 2020, has decided to shut up shop due to a combination of personal events and economic factors. The site is comprised of an open grill restaurant, bar, gallery and wine training school. Eleanor Dodd from In the Park said, "We've made the very difficult decision to close our doors, and after four fantastic years, the time has come for us to pass on the baton. We want to thank our dedicated team, local suppliers and, of course, all the guests who helped make so many brilliant memories at In the Park." In the Park cited economic factors as the main reason for the closure, with the last 4 years having weighed heavily on the hospitality industry. COVID restrictions, staff shortages caused by Brexit and soaring utility and food costs have all contributed to difficulties for business owners. Please spare a thought and support other local independent businesses in the next few months as trading conditions with recent legislation and increased costs continue to make things more difficult. Be kind, said the owner. Now we go on, as usual, to the death notices, starting with Heather, please.
Adams. Rodney Frederick William Adams, known as Rod, at Winchester Hospice on the 2nd of January, aged 75.
Basin, Ray Basin, peacefully at Winchester Hospice, 6th of January, aged 87.
Bell, Anna Rowena Bell, née Dibden.
Coleman, Josephine Betty Coleman, née Smith, originally from the Isle of Purbeck, 8th of November.
Griffiths, Gillian Dorothy Griffiths, peacefully on the 27th of December, aged 67.
Harder, Vivian Harder, née Price, known as Viv, at Winchester Hospital, aged 79.
Harper, Sheila Harper, at Winchester Hospice following a short illness, 30th of December, aged 82.
Herridge, Jim Herridge, known as John, formerly of Week, peacefully in Oxford, 23rd of December, aged 96.
Horton, Stuart Guy Horton, on the 24th of December, aged 88.
Kennedy, Andrew Stuart Kennedy, BVMS, MRCVS, peacefully at Winchester Hospital, 24th of December, aged 91.
Knight, Barbara Alison Knight, in Truro after a short illness, 12th of December.
Rook, Christopher Rook, 25th of December, aged 77.
Smale, Rosemary Smale, peacefully at Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 26th of December, aged 87.
White, Ivy White, peacefully at University Hospital Southampton, 7th of January, aged 95.
Wood, Jean Marjorie Wood, née Blatchford, née Bryant, born in Winchester, died in France, 3rd of January, aged 82.
Thank you. Now we move on to Christian comment, read please by Heather.
You are loved, and God has a plan, writes Moira Redmond. There are stories in the Bible that are common currency and well known. the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the feeding of the 5,000. There are phrases that are familiar, even if some people don't know they're biblical. Let there be light, the writing on the wall, forbidden fruit. And then there are quotes that are very familiar to what you might call church people, but less so outside, and that's the category I'd put this into. It's from Jeremiah chapter 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. A priest I know told me he has never given a religious retreat without using this text. Full disclosure, when I read the book of Jeremiah, I said this to the same priest. I've been ploughing through Jeremiah for what feels like 5 years. What a dreary book it is. Then the heading read, Jeremiah gets put in a cistern, and I had an unbiblical response of good. Didn't stop him droning on and on and on, though. Not very religious of me. But that section I quoted shines out and makes all the effort worth it. For Christians, the promise of these lines is what keeps us going. When life is hard, when problems seem insoluble, it helps a lot to have someone to turn to, but also to be able to believe that there is a plan, that we may not be able to see it, but there is purpose in our lives. And the comfort of knowing that there is someone looking out for you, someone who cares, that's what we all need. And it's lovely to have in our personal lives, more important than material things or luxury. But the key element of Christianity is that whatever's going on in your day-to-day life, even if there is no one else, God is always there for you. You are loved. You are important. There is real sadness in the fact that many people don't know that, don't have that feeling, and that is the cause of much unhappiness in the world. Non-churchgoers often resist Christians. Why are they so pushy? Why do they have to be so happy-clappy? Why are they trying to recruit? But look at it the other way. We think we know something that makes life worth living, something important and beautiful, something that makes sense of the difficult and awkward world around us. Of course we'd like to share that with others. We want others to feel safe and happy. It would be remiss of us not to try to pass on the word. If there is one important message in this world, it is to say to everyone, Christian or not, believer or not, you are loved. You matter. You are important. You are cared for. Happy New Year. Moira Redman.
Thank you, Heather. I wish all of you could have seen Heather's face as she read some of those pieces there. It was an entertainment in itself. Thank you, Heather. Right, we go on to letters to the editor, starting with Noel, please.
Right. Are car parks a waste of space? Asked Chris Gillam. The seething shopping streets of Winchester in December are clear testimony that economic activity in the city is not significantly dependent on central car parking, as Nick Eakins asserts in an entirely unevidenced article chronicled January the 2nd. The footfall on any day in December must have been an order of magnitude greater than the total daily turnover of the central car parks. Mr. Eakins persists in reiterating a long disproved notion that there is a positive correlation between car parking provision and economic vitality. All research evidence shows the opposite is true. Car dependency in the UK towns shows a strong inverse relationship to their economic vitality. Mr. Eakins is welcome to point to any research that refutes this. This should, in any case, be obvious. Urban space has a high value, and it is absurd to waste it on inefficient transport use. Access to Winchester Centre is restricted not by shortage of car parking space, but by traffic in the streets. Reduced car parking would mean clearer access to more efficient public transport and active travel, i.e. more access to people in total. And reduced car parking would mean more central space for more useful and economically beneficial activity and a better, cleaner, safer and more attractive environment for it. Miss Eakins could not have got it more wrong. That's Chris Gillam, Upper High Street, Winchester.
Thank you, Noel. Jane, please.
And Councillor Sally Yalden writes, mandate needed. Hampshire County Council and Southampton City Council are proposing to expedite Labour's devolution plans in Hampshire. This major shake-up would mean that Test Valley Borough and other neighbouring councils would be combined into a large strategic authority, with the prospect of a regional mayor similar to those in Manchester, Birmingham and London, etc. Hampshire County Council have held an extraordinary meeting to rush through a decision on this. On the agenda was a recommendation to postpone this May's county elections for at least a year, under the cover of this reorganisation. This would make a mockery of our democratic process. Undoubtedly, a reorganisation will be intricate, drawn out and financially burdensome, potentially spanning years. Given the scale of complexities, how likely is it that the May 2026 target date for a reorganisation would even be met? Why should we trust those who have presided over the present financial crisis at Hampshire County Council to lead us through this major upheaval? Reorganisation is a complex policy question, and the evidence of its outcomes is mixed. Whilst there may be some benefits, I'm very concerned that our communities may lose their distinct voice and identity. How can we believe that this restructuring will yield success if the fundamental issues remain untouched and unchallenged? Why not confront the root causes of our local government's failures before plunging headlong into a costly and disruptive reorganisation? The current Conservative administration at Hampshire County Council may appreciate the veil of a restructuring being pulled across the dire financial situation at HCC. A delay would be most convenient for them, as many of their seats look exposed in the May's election. Fundamentally, regular elections are crucial for upholding the essence of a healthy democracy. Delaying our right to choose our representatives and shape local policy decisions would undermine that, especially when very important changes are being proposed. Holding the local elections as scheduled in May would be essential to provide Hampshire County Council with a proper mandate for the change. And that was from Councillor Sally Yalden, Fernhill, Brashfield, Romsey.
Thank you, Jane. My letter is written by Simon Lever, and it's headed, "It would be a waste to knock it down." And there is a photograph of Coitbury House in Friarsgate, sort of a three-storey, traditionally brick-built, pitch-roof building. Coitbury House is a traditional design of the 1950s, chronicled January the 9th. Unlike the short lifespan of 1970s flat-topped buildings, a large number having to be knocked down and rebuilt. Although King's Walk is stated to be well-built, it lacks character, harmony and unattractive inner spaces. Lack of imagination. Although not a dramatic design, Coitbury House is functional and from the outside in keeping with the area. Knocking it down for a rebuild would be both costly and a waste of public money. Coitbury House is constructed with quality materials, made to last. There must be a realistic way to preserve the outward architecture and redesign the interior, whatever plans for usage. It's written by Simon Lever of Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester. Heather, please.
Danny Lee writes, "A worrying move. The devolution and local government reorganisation paper was discussed at the full council meeting at Hampshire County Council on January the 9th. Coupled with the claim by the leader of Hampshire County Council that we are on the brink of a transformative journey for Hampshire, and the vehicle driving us forward is devolution, it is very worrying. As a Hampshire resident and Winchester City Council councillor, I am deeply concerned about the current proposed format and the absence of improved electoral democratic processes for the devolution and local government reorganisation proposals. While change can bring opportunities, the current trajectory creates serious democratic deficits unless accompanied by significant reforms. Cancelling the county council elections for May 2025 already raises questions about legitimacy. It would leave an administration with a questionable electoral mandate to oversee a major restructuring. This approach risks undermining public trust in the political process and eroding the legitimacy of local governance. So a county council with a strong voice in the devolution and local government reorganisation discussions to represent residents' interests must be in doubt. Reducing the number of districts in favour of large unitaries might have practical advantages and some cost savings, but the proposed population of 500,000 per unitary weakens the vital link between councillors and constituents. Comparatively, London and Manchester have smaller unitaries serving around 300,000, and they have more robust democratic connections. Persisting with the outdated first-past-the-post electoral system is also inappropriate for the proposed reorganisation. A proportional voting system is essential to reflect Hampshire's diverse communities and ensure the widest representation. An analysis by the Institute of Public Policy Research highlighted growing political disillusionment among certain social groups, leading to increasingly unequal elections. Furthermore, voter turnout for mayoral elections typically hovers around 30%, underscoring a worrying decline in democratic engagement. Hampshire's population, comparable to Northern Ireland and exceeding that of some devolved regions, demands regional governance structures reflective of its scale. A mayoral combined authority without proportional representation would narrow the diversity of political voices and lessen Hampshire's breadth of perspectives. Instead, a Hampshire Assembly incorporating proportional representation and all local voices would provide a balanced, responsive governance structure that effectively represents all Hampshire residents. Danny Lee, Winchester City Councillor for Central Meon Valley.
Thank you, Heather Noel, please.
David Killeen says, our new MP, Danny Chambers, seems to be misinformed about a lot of things, particularly the NHS plans for A&E in Winchester, a development that will improve care and save lives, in my view, and in the view of clinical experts. In fact, Mr. Chambers seems to take great delight in blaming anyone he can think of, particularly the previous government and Winchester Conservatives. However, rarely is any solution offered, just opposition and negativity, a strange mix when he is now our elected representative. He is also in the dark about the proposed devolution plans for Hampshire, which, as is already widely known, means the probable deferral of the county elections this May. Yet he calls on all of us to vote Lib Dem to take control of Hampshire, despite some very shaky and debt-laden Lib Dems councils nearby. Step Forward Eastleigh Borough Council, some 550 million in the red. He's also misinformed about Hampshire's financial position and says the authority has no money when nothing can be further from the truth. It's well run, despite many challenges. Mr. Chambers' role is to help us all in Parliament in a positive way, but we hear nothing positive from him, only criticism of others, sadly a very Lib Dem trait. Wake up, Danny, and try to be positive. You're not the pretender anymore, you're our MP. We want leadership, and we expect more from you than just a constant blame game. And that's David Killeen, Main Road, Hursley.
Thank you, Noel. Jane, please.
And here Eunice Stevens writes, pertinent query. I correctly predicted in my letter, still shocked, in the Chronicle of December the 26th, that correspondence about Winchester Cathedral would continue to gather momentum. Hence, the two letters published on January the 2nd, entitled Wider Question and Untold Damage. In the former, Gary Honey poses a most pertinent question, namely, why has the Dean taken early retirement? A subject about which many of us are wondering. In the latter, Paul Wing suggests that the time has come for an instant end to speculation about resignations at the cathedral, as it would be in everyone's best interests. To whose interests is he referring? He also proposes that the bishop's review should, rather than must, establish the explanations behind so many resignations of excellent cathedral staff. The bishop reserves the right to treat its contents as confidential. If he thinks that offering the public a few snippets from a secret report will calm the disquiet, he is sadly mistaken. And that was from Eunice Stevens, Cliffway, Compton.
Thank you, Jane. I've got a very short letter here written by S.J. Kainer, K-E-I-G-H-E-R, Kainer. Anyway, it's headed Baked In. And I have to say, I don't quite understand the letter, but I shall read it first and see what you think. Is national decline now baked in, given that an electoral campaign strategy based on Gales has thus far only delivered Nando's and Five Guys for Winchester? That's written by S.J. Kainer of Courtney Road, Winchester. Heather, please.
Anne Lewin also says, end the speculation. Mr. Wing's Chronicle letter of January the 2nd about the troubles in the Church of England and Winchester Cathedral makes an important point about the need to stop speculation about resignations among the staff at the cathedral. As he wrote, the bishop has set up a review which will report on his investigation of the situation, and speculation about what his conclusions might be is not helpful. Resignations are a matter for individuals and not for public debate. They will be made for particular reasons. And it's worth noting that one of those Mr. Wing mentions, that of a deputy organist at the cathedral, is the result of her promotion to a senior post as director of music at Bury St. Edmunds Cathedral, which is more a reason for celebration than concern. Numbers in attendance at Sunday worship have dropped nationally for a variety of reasons, and it has been reported that cathedrals have larger attendances than many parish churches. Winchester Cathedral is no exception. The fact that the capacity of the cathedral has been considerably reduced from 2,200 to 2,000 is driven by health and safety requirements and the need to be able to evacuate the cathedral as safely and speedily as possible if necessary. The cap actually came into being some years ago and is not a recent development. Anne Lewin, Southampton.
Thank you, Heather. Noel, please.
Yolande Lomas writes about help with hedges.
Oh.
Love hedges? Want to enhance the countryside whilst meeting like-minded people? Volunteering with CPRE Hampshire allows you to do just that. We run volunteer hedge planting sessions every Thursday and one weekend day a month. Timings are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and we'll be planting across Barkley, Copythorne, Hursley, Ampfield and Romsey. Email hampshirehedge@cprehampshire.org.uk for more, or sign up as a volunteer at cprehampshire.org.uk. /hedgerows. The Hampshire Hedge is run by CPRE Hampshire to connect the South Downs National Park and the New Forest National Park with a nature recovery corridor. That's from Yolande Lomas, Assistant Hedgerow Project Officer, CPRE Hampshire.
Thank you, Noel. I wonder if they get their money from hedge funds. Jane,
well, Sarah Crane writes, rescued hens. I so appreciated Mr. Atkinson's coverage of the rescued ginger hens in need of homes. CIC looking for Winchester volunteers to help rehome chickens in the Hampshire Chronicle. I am sure this delightful coverage of people caring for these hens will help us to have some compassion for the millions of poor chickens we ignore just so we can take their eggs or eat their wings. And that was from Sarah Crane of Toronto in Canada.
Thank you, Jane. Now, if you have an opinion or a subject you'd like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860836. That is 01962 860836. And Heather's looking at me. Have you still got another letter? Oh, right. I'll finish this and then we'll have Heather's last
Sorry
letter.
About that.
Yes. Or you can email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you could write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Heather, your last letter, please.
Short,
okay.
Felicity McElderry writes, a sad loss. Such a loss. How very sad that the Earthian Zero Waste Shop in Parchment Street is to close. For the past 4 years, it's been a wonderful source of sustainable, plastic-free, healthy and delicious products, benefiting both people and the planet. Price comparisons have shown most items to be cheaper than in local supermarkets. Katie, the proprietor, is unfailingly positive and helpful and has always been looking for new ways to expand the already wide range, along with recycling options. Huge thanks are due for her enthusiasm and commitment. It is so disappointing that Winchester seems unable to support and sustain even one such outlet, vital as it is to everyone's future. Can we not do better than this? Felicity McElderry, Dean Lane, Winchester.
Thank you, Heather. Now we go on to editorial comment read by Jane, please.
And this week it is Why a Man's Fight in Ukraine Matters. Ours is an unusual front page this week. We report on a Winchester man called Simon Headley who is serving with the Ukrainian armed forces in their war with Russia. Russian social media platform Telegram has targeted him. Simon went to school at King's and his parents still live in Winchester. The Hampshire Chronicle mainly focuses on events in and around Winchester, but often covers local people involved in notable happenings around the world, including natural disasters. The war in Ukraine is a man-made disaster caused by the neo-imperialist lunacy of Vladimir Putin, a man still in thrall to the centuries-old Russian expansionist worldview. His invasion of February 2022 sparked a wave of refugees, including hundreds of mainly women and children, who fled to this country and have found a new temporary home in the Winchester district. At stake in Ukraine is a titanic struggle between two irreconcilable views, democracy and dictatorship. Anyone familiar with recent Ukrainian history knows that violence and corruption was never far from the surface. But in the last decade, democracy and civic society has started to flower, and the country, or a majority of the people, want to look west towards the European Union and NATO. It is this that Putin hates, because he fears such freedom in a major country on his border. Make no mistake, his victory in Ukraine would threaten all of Western Europe. Many people are blind to the threat. So, we salute Simon Headley and wish him all the best. He is fighting for us all.
Thank you, Jane. Now, this week's opinion piece is written by Kimberly Barber, who is also, of course, the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. And it's headed, Heading to the Gym. Just over 2 weeks into the new year, how are your New Year's resolutions going? As we look forward to this year and what you hope to achieve in 2025, setting unrealistic goals is easy. We all know what we must do to achieve a better life. Eat better, exercise more, spend more time with friends and family, spend less time on electronic devices, you know, that sort of thing. Like many others, I want to move more and take time out of my busy work and family life to focus on my health. A niggling knee, some extra weight and looming perimenopause means I'm finding bending down or running upstairs much harder than they ought to be. A health scare with my elderly dad in December has also brought health sharply into the forefront of my mind. I have a Winchester Sport and Leisure Park membership, which has been idle during the Christmas festivities. However, it's the first week of 2025, a new year, a new you, and all that jazz. And the Leisure Centre has released its latest set of classes. So, I am back. Trainers on, my gym kit has been retrieved from the floor of my wardrobe. I am ready to test the classes and facilities again. The Leisure Centre was packed, full of people with similar mindsets who were hoping to get fitter this year. The gym and the car park were also full, a good sign that I am not alone in this quest to be a bit fitter. I can't praise the Leisure Centre enough. It's a great asset to the city. For many months, while it was in the planning stages and being built, I remember former councillor Frank Pearson telling meetings of Swanmore Parish Council, on which I was a parish councillor, about how great it would be. I also remember thinking that perhaps he was over-egging things. I wondered who would drive to Winchester to go to the gym when the perfectly functional Fair and Leisure Centre was closer and arguably quicker to get to. However, I am a convert. Winchester's pool is beautiful, clean and big, and the family pool is a perfect depth for younger swimmers. It is fun, with a splash park too. The light streams in on a sunny day and you can see the fields outside while swimming. It's new, the changing rooms are well designed, and it even has proper hair dryers, not those awful tube things. The gym is also great, with views out, albeit mainly over the car park, which lets natural light in and gives a pleasant feeling. No dingy, smelly basement here. So many clubs and groups meet at the centre too. The notice board is packed with activities I would like to try. Everyone Active runs the centre, which also operates the centre in Fairham, where my children take swimming lessons, and the centres in Holly Hill and Whiteley. My membership gets me into those centres too, and the kids get free swimming outside their lessons, making for a nice, cheap and, most importantly, active day out. My kids are also great fans of the climbing walls at Fairham Leisure Centre, and we hope to try the walls at Winchester soon, if they ever realise weekend dates. The monthly membership, which allows you to go any time to or any class at all centres, is on the expensive end of gym membership at £52.99 per month, when you compare it to the cheaper inner city chain gyms, but I think it's worth it. If I have convinced any of you to sign up and try it, I'll see you at a body balance class soon. So, here's to a fitter, more active 2025. Mm. Right, well, after the opinion piece, we go on to Belgarum. The first is read by Heather, please.
Dingham store is to close. And there's a picture of the Dingham store in Salisbury. Big windows, absolutely jammed as far as I can see, with stuff. 3 years ago, after its branch closed in Winchester, it looks to be the end of the line for Dingham's. Open for more than 40 years in Salisbury, it has announced that it will be closing its doors for good. Dingham's on the marketplace has shared with its customers that it will remain open until its final day on February the 28th. It closed its branch in the square in Winchester in January 2022, citing rising rents and poor trade. In a Facebook post, the shop has said, "It's with a heavy heart that we share some difficult news with all of you. After much thought and careful consideration, we have made the heartbreaking decision to close Dingham's. It's not a decision we've taken lightly, and we wanted to personally explain the reasons behind this difficult choice. For over 40 years, Dingham's has been more than just a business. It's been a place where we've had the privilege to serve our wonderful customers, build lasting relationships, and be a part of the fabric of this community. From our cosy cafe to the carefully curated shop, we've strived to create a space that people could enjoy, relax, and feel welcome in. Your support over the years has meant everything to us, and we are so grateful for the loyalty, warmth and friendships we've built along the way.
Thank you, Heather. Noel, please.
Yes, students show marketing skills. University of Winchester students have been using their marketing skills to promote tourism destinations. The BA Honours Event Management and Business Management students took over the university event space, the Vault, for a special event. This was their main assessed event for the second year module on meetings, incentive travel, conferences and exhibitions, or MICE. Sorry, it's the initials. The students worked in groups to research a global tourist destination and pose as its destination management organisation, DMO. This involved designing and delivering an exhibition stand to showcase their city or country. And there's a delightful picture of all the students all lined up, the students who worked on tourists, and the camera of the photographer has managed to put all the pretty girls at the front.
Thank you, Nell. Now, Jane has a piece of historical interest, please.
Yes, this is Bygone Hampshire, Looking Back Through the Ages, a collection of photographs. Like many local groups, Kingsclere Local History Association, that's KLHA, founded in 2000 as the Kingsclere Heritage Association and renamed in 2021, has over the years collected many photographs of the village, some of them extremely rare and even unique. Kingsclere first appears in the record in the will of Alfred the Great, but was first occupied long before. Under Edward the Confessor, it formed part of the farm of Basingstoke. It was once the third largest town in North Hampshire, behind Basingstoke and Andover. The photographs shown here are part of the Kingsclere Village Archives, maintained by the KLHA members, and normally open for viewing on Monday afternoons, 2 to 4pm, upstairs in Kingsclere Village Club, George Street, Kingsclere, RG25NH. New donations of material relating to Kingsclere are always welcome. And it has four here delightful black and white, very old black and white photos. The first is members of the Kingsclere Young Farmers Club get young shorthorn calves, courtesy of United Dairies, Yew Tree Farm, 1930. And this is a photograph of a row of small calves, extremely pretty, and tied to a sort of fence, both facing each other with lots of hay around. And presumably the young farmers, because they're all quite young-looking lads with caps on their heads and are often in short trousers and school blazers. And they're obviously studying them with great enthusiasm. And then the second one is probably Kingsclere Hockey Club in the 1930s, which is a picture of girls, women, all with a hockey stick, and some of them in sort of school uniform, but all with white tops and skirts. And they're sitting down on the floor, some of them holding their hockey sticks. That was at a time, I think, when hockey was actually one of the few sports they did teach in girls' schools. And then the third one is the Reverend Arthur T. Finch and the Bishop of Winchester on Pope's Hill after the dedication of a new cemetery in 1923. And the two men seriously walking down the street. And the last delightful photo is the art class at Kingsclere Secondary School in 1952. And this is a photograph of both boys and girls sitting at their single desks, which of course have little inkwells and little racks for the pens and pencils. And they're very seriously looking down at an art board and doing some drawing or sketching on the art board. The boys, they're all in uniform. The boys have that very clearly shaved up the back, then slicked back at the top hairstyle, and the girls have curls that are hooked back with little pins, but they're all very studiously working at doing their art.
Thank you, Jane. Now, some bits and pieces of interest that you may find of interest coming up in the next week or two. Sunday the 19th of January, the Blue Apple are presenting a production called For One Night Only. It's at 7:30 p.m. at the Thorndon Hall in Winchester Road, Eastleigh. This is an evening of plays, dances, songs and film made by learning disabled performers from across Hampshire. Tuesday the 21st, Winchester Film Society does a presentation at the Winchester Science Centre. The film is called Evil Does Not Exist. Sunday the 26th of January, there is a charity concert in support of the Wessex Cancer Charity called Pop's Big Band Charity Concert. Once again, that is at the Thorndon Hall in Winchester Road, Eastleigh. That is in the afternoon at 3:30 p.m. Sunday the 2nd of February, the comedian Ed Byrne is presenting Tragedy Plus Time. That's at the Theatre Royal, Winchester. Monday the 3rd of February, Say Aphasia, drop-in group for people living with aphasia. That's a communication disability. That's 10 a.m. and that's at St. Peter's Pastoral Centre in Drury Street. Wednesday the 5th of February, the T.J. Johnson Quartet. This is at the Concord Club, Stoneham Lane, Eastleigh. Widely considered one of UK's most charismatic and highly revered jazz and blues singers. And then finally, Thursday the 13th of February, Wonderful Wales. No, that's not the, this is not the country. W-H-A-L-E-S. Wonderful Wales, Delightful Dolphins, and A Pod of Porpoises. It's not easy to say. That's at the Badger Farm Community Centre. That's at 7:30 in the evening. Now, before we go on to items of general news, let's have a look at the lighting up times for the coming week. The sun, if there is any, will rise at about 8 a.m. and set again at around 4:30 p.m. So on to items of general news. Heather, your first article, please.
More alerts for air ambulance. And there's a picture of one of their helicopters with a man and a woman standing in front of them with bags and baggages, obviously full of medical equipment, looking incredibly efficient. HIOWAA, which means the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, saw a 40% increase year on year in deployments, is the headline under the picture. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance saw a staggering increase in emergencies in 2024. The Air Ambulance responded to 2,544 calls, the most in a calendar year for the life-saving charity. It marks an almost 40% year-on-year increase in deployments, with 1,842 in 2023. Cardiac arrests, road traffic collisions, accidental injuries and medical incidents such as critical seizures and asthma attacks accounted for more than 80% of the service's call-outs. And for the first time in its history, the teams responded to more patients by road in its emergency response vehicles than by helicopter.
Oh, I didn't know they ran road vehicles as well.
No, neither did I, absolutely.
No. Okay. Noel, please.
Clothing store closing after an amazing ride.
Ah.
It was clothing, didn't it? Oh, but the store is called Eclectic Hound, so riding. A men's clothing store in Winchester City Centre is closing down for good. Eclectic Hound, which has traded in the square opposite Gives and Hawks for more than a decade, has put up a sign announcing a clearance sale. Speaking to the Chronicle, owner James Duffield said, "Our decision to close reflects the changing business landscape post-pandemic and the challenges we've faced along the way. While we've given it our all, it's time to move forward and embrace new opportunities. Having a shop in the square has been a dream come true. Over the past 8 years in this location, customers have become friends, and we're proud of all we've achieved here. I believe the retail and food and drink sectors face challenges in the short term, and Winchester independents are not exempt. Supporting your favourite places now is essential to ensure they exist in the future. It's the second recent blow to the independent sector following the announcement that Earthian's Zero Waste Shop in Parchment Street will close on Saturday, January the 25th. The formal closing date for Eclectic Hound is slated for the end of January. The sign read, "After 11 wonderful years, Eclectic Hound will be closing its doors at the end of January. We want to extend our heartfelt thank you to all our customers for supporting us on this journey. It's been an amazing ride. Looking back, we are so proud of everything we've accomplished. We're looking forward to finishing on a positive note. To celebrate, we're having a massive closing down sale. Enjoy 50% off all stock. Our unique shop fittings are also up for grabs."
Jane, please.
Here we have anger as chalk streams lose their protection. Government plans to scrap protective measures for chalk streams have faced a backlash and have been labelled disappointing. In a statement, the Department for Environment, Farming and Agriculture, DEFRA, confirmed plans to shelve the chalk stream protective pack announced by the previous government. DEFRA said it is exploring the best approach to delivering its commitment to restore chalk streams to better ecological health as part of its reforms for the water sector. More information will be provided in due course. A DEFRA spokesperson said, "This government inherited a water system where for too long water companies have pumped record levels of sewage into our waterways and infrastructure has not kept pace with demand. It's why the priority has been to take immediate steps to ring-fence investment to ensure it goes directly into improvements, not bonuses and dividends, and place companies under special measures through the Water Bill, which includes a ban on the payment of unfair bonuses to polluting water bosses. This government is committed to restoring chalk streams and is investing in 55 river catchment projects to improve chalk streams, which will help clean up our rivers, lakes and seas for good." The MP for Romsey and Southampton North, Caroline Noakes, has been vocal in her opposition to the move. In a statement, the MP said, "Here in Romsey and Southampton North, we fully understand the importance of our chalk streams. The Test and the Itchen are globally renowned as two of the finest chalk streams there are. Back in 2023, I was campaigning alongside the Hanson Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust for greater action on chalk streams and was really pleased when the recovery plan was brought forward. Chalk streams are very special in their own right and they are unique ecosystems that a general approach to river catchments does not adequately reflect their special characteristics." Ms. Noakes said, "I've written to the Secretary of State at DEFRA to let him know that those of us who understand and care about chalk streams feel very let down that the recovery plan will not now go ahead." And this is accompanied by a beautiful photograph of a sunrise on the River Test with a very large area of the Test down near the coast, by the looks of it, calm and absolutely beautiful with plants growing at the side of it. And then underneath, a small photograph of one of those huts where you can overlook rivers and a group of school children with Caroline Noakes clearly visiting the River Test to try and see how much wildlife they can investigate.
Thank you, Jane. My piece is headed MP's Challenge Over Grooming Victims. MP Danny Chamber has challenged the Home Office Minister on a lack of action to protect the victims of grooming. The Winchester MP shared his views on the matter during departmental questions on Monday, January the 13th. Dr. Chambers said that the whole country was appalled at the terrible crime of girls being groomed by gangs of older men, adding that they were outraged by the lack of action taken by authorities to protect the victims. He asked the government to commit to implementing the 20 recommendations of the Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse, chaired by Professor Alexis Jay, in full and at pace. The Home Office Minister, Jess Phillips, said she has spent the weekend dealing with cases in her Birmingham Yardley constituency linked to grooming of boys and girls by organised groups of varying different sorts. Mm. She added, "We will work absolutely at pace with the stakeholders, including the victims and also Professor Alexis Jay, to make sure that what was intended by those recommendations can happen. I will do it as quickly as possibly to be done, but I will not do what has previously been done by the previous government and just say, yeah, sure, and leave it to chance." Heather, please.
Volunteers help to sustain the NHS workers. A charity has served more than 1,200 snacks and refreshments to hospital staff during a state of emergency. The Rapid Relief Team acted as the flu virus caused a state of emergency at both Basingstoke and North Hampshire Hospital and the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester. Volunteers from the charity provided more than 600 hot drinks, snacks and refreshments at each hospital to help boost morale and sustain staff working extra long shifts to care for the increasing number of patients. The state of emergency at the hospitals required staff to work more than 12-hour shifts to support the higher patient volumes, with many unable to take breaks for meals, adding physical and emotional strain to their already demanding jobs. Volunteers from the Hampshire Hospital Charity also helped by delivering the Rapid Relief Team's refreshments directly to hospital wards, ensuring staff who couldn't leave their posts were taken care of. The Rapid Relief Team is made up of volunteers from the Plymouth Brethren Christian Church and committed to offering practical support to charities, emergency services and other organisations on the front line. As part of this commitment, the Rapid Relief Team volunteers mobilise at short notice to provide food and refreshments to frontline workers during emergencies. And Aaron Labett, the local team leader, said, "When we learnt that a state of emergency had been called at hospitals in Hampshire, our volunteers quickly mobilised, and we were delighted to be able to serve over 1,200 refreshments to support staff, providing vital care to those affected by the flu virus. We know that in winter our healthcare system is under increased pressure, and at the Rapid Relief Team, we want to do everything we can to help alleviate some of the stress that healthcare workers experience. We are dedicated to putting compassion into action, and we hope our snacks were able to bring some relief to the hospital staff who are working extremely hard to keep our community safe and healthy. We thank them for all their efforts." Juliet Alexander, admin team lead at Royal Hampshire County Hospital, said, "The team from the Rapid Response Team have been fantastic. Quickly responded to our call to see whether they could help us following our critical incidents. Being able to bring food and refreshments to help our staff in these difficult times has been greatly appreciated."
Thank you, Heather. Noel, please.
Yes, and this one follows on from that.
Okay.
The title is Hospital Ends Critical Incident. A critical incident at Winchester and Basingstoke hospitals has been stood down, but neither are out of the woods yet. As previously reported, Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, HHFT, which runs Basingstoke, Andover and Winchester hospitals, declared a critical incident on Tuesday, January the 7th, due to a high number of admissions due to flu cases. The Trust said that the high number of admissions had placed pressure on services with a high number of infectious patients requiring isolation and a low discharge rate contributing to the decision. The Trust stepped down its critical incident status on Monday. Andy Hyatt, Hampshire Hospital's Chief Operating Officer, said, "We are enormously grateful to the public for the way in which they are supporting our staff by only coming to the emergency department if seriously ill or injured. Treating those who need us most is our priority, and the public's efforts is making a real difference. Although stepping down from a critical incident is positive and testament to the hard work of our staff and the support of our system partners, we're not out of the woods yet, and are unlikely to be for many weeks to come. We ask that people continue seeking treatment and healthcare elsewhere unless very unwell."
Thank you, Noel. Jane, please.
And here we have more than 1,000 Explore Medieval Vaults. More than 1,000 people have booked to go on tours exploring medieval vaults under Southampton. Winchester-based Experience Hampshire, in collaboration with Southampton City Council and See Southampton, has been running the tours for more than 2 years. The vaults were originally built during Henry II's reign to store wine. The two-hour guided tours take place under the city streets 4 times a week. They have proven to be a hit, with more than 1,000 bookings so far. Experience Hampshire's Chief Experience Officer and co-founder, Roger Walker, said, "I was fascinated to discover just over 2 years ago that there were a number of underground vaults built during the reign of Henry II to store wine right under the streets and buildings of the city. We have teamed up with Southampton City Council, who own and manage the vaults, and See Southampton, whose expert guides lead all of our walks, to promote a two-hour tour which visits some of these vaults. The tours run on most weekday evenings, Monday to Thursday, starting early evening from the Bargate. Those interested in booking a spot on the tour can do so through the Experience Hampshire website." And there's a very interesting photograph of an enormous vault, grey stone vault, with a long path, and I would say at least 12 people standing underneath this arched vault, which must have been able to carry huge amounts of wine.
Thank you, Jane. My piece is headed Game Changer. A private hospital leader in Winchester has called a new government plan a game changer for NHS patients. The government has published an elective care plan that commits to giving NHS patients the right to choose from a shortlist of local hospitals, including private hospitals paid for by the NHS. This means that patients will be able to choose to be treated at private Sarum Road Hospital. Martin Page, Executive Director of Sarum Road Hospital, said, "This step will give hope to so many families who are worried about long waits. Very often there are NHS appointments going spare at local private hospitals, and patients don't realise or aren't told they have the right to see the waiting times and results data at all local hospitals, and then to make an informed choice about where they have their operation. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has committed to offering patients a choice of 5 hospitals at the point of referral. He said, then they can decide what the most important factors are. Do they want to go a bit further away and be seen a bit faster? Or would they like to wait because it's local and more convenient? Or would they like to go to the hospital with the best reputation for treating their condition?" Mr. Page added, "Sarum Road Hospital has an outstanding reputation locally for patient experience and clinical results, with a team of the country's leading consultants practising here, and we stand ready to assist in giving NHS patients in Winchester as many options as possible." Heather, please.
Sniper trainee's death avoidable, inquest told. And it's accompanied by a head and shoulders picture of a young man wearing his army beret and in camouflage top, standing, looking at us. The death of a soldier who accidentally shot himself during a training exercise could have been avoided, an inquiry into his death has found. Lance Corporal Joe Spencer, aged 24, died from a fatal gunshot wound on November the 1st, 2016, at the Air Weapons Range in Tain. The 24-year-old from Bishopstoke was on a sniper training course when his gun went off unexpectedly. He was standing, waiting for his turn to take part in an exercise, with the butt of his rifle resting on his foot and his chin resting on the barrel when it went off. In his determination, following a fatal accident inquiry, Sheriff Gary Aitken said, "Lance Corporal Spencer was holding his rifle vertically. The butt of the rifle was resting on the toe cap of his boot. He was occasionally resting his chin on the suppressor fitted to the end of the rifle muzzle. He was moving the rifle up and down on his boot, very gently. From that position, it was impossible for him to manually operate the trigger of the rifle. Without warning, the rifle discharged, inflicting an immediately fatal head wound to Lance Corporal Spencer. A doctor was called and Lance Corporal Spencer was pronounced dead at 6:45 p.m. The sheriff ruled the incident was partly due to Lance Corporal Spencer's utterly inexplicable failure to properly unload his rifle following a live fire exercise earlier in the day. He added that the death could have been avoided if he had not been holding the rifle vertically in close proximity to his body during the undemanded discharge. Sheriff Aitken also pointed to failures in the way the training course had been delivered, saying that if the correct words of command to carry out the unload drill had been given, the incident could have been avoided. Sheriff Aitken said three separate investigations into the rifle had found no fault with the weapon that would have caused it to fire without the trigger being pulled. He said the accident was most likely caused by the trigger getting snagged on equipment on the ground while Lance Corporal Spencer moved the rifle up and down on his foot, coinciding with a moment in time when his head was above the muzzle. The sheriff concluded that the soldier's death had been the result of the actions and decisions of a number of individuals, including Lance Corporal Spencer himself, and continued, "From the evidence available to me, I do not consider that any of these individuals acted with malice or recklessness or had any idea of the catastrophic event their actions would lead to." He expressed his condolences to Lance Corporal Spencer's family, friends and comrades.
Thank you, Heather. Noel, please.
Restaurant revives prices from 1975. Rick Stein's Winchester restaurant is rolling back prices to 1975 levels for its 50th anniversary. The restaurant chain, which first opened in Padstow in 1975, will celebrate its golden anniversary by offering classic seafood dishes at 1975 prices for 4 days in February. Excuse me. The offer will be available at lunchtime from Thursday, February the 6th, to Sunday, February the 9th. The menu will include shellfish soup for 50p, grilled lobster for £2.80, seafood thermidor for £2.20, and Cornish bouillabaisse, I never know how to pronounce that, bouillabaisse for £2.60. Desserts will include treacle tart for 35p and apple pancakes with Calvados sauce for 40p. "We hope to welcome you to join us celebrating our golden year," he said. "There are a limited number of lunch bookings available. Reservations go live on Friday, January the 24th at 10 a.m. and bookings must be made through this link, rickstein.com/theseafoodrestaurant50/rolledbackmenu/.
Thank you, Noel. I think we should form an orderly queue. Jane, please.
And here we have COVID and flu jabs still available for those eligible. People available for free COVID-19 and flu vaccinations have been urged to get their jabs. The NHS has said that people have until Friday, January the 31st, to book in for their COVID-19 vaccination and flu jabs are available until Monday, March the 31st. More than 420,000 COVID-19 vaccinations have been delivered to people aged 65 and over, pregnant women, those who have an increased risk of getting seriously ill, and frontline health and care workers. But that still leaves 40% of those eligible who haven't come forward for their free vaccination. In addition to the COVID-19 jabs, more than 595,000 flu vaccinations have also been administered. Getting a flu jab in January ensures that you're protected when the risk of contracting the flu is at its highest. Dr. Matt Nisbet, a local GP and clinical lead for the COVID-19 vaccination programme at NHS Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, said, "With cases of flu rising across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, it is more important than ever to get vaccinated. It is the best way for people to ensure that they and their families are protected against the viruses, especially at this time of year, as they spread more easily when people spend more time indoors. It is crucial to get this protection, even if you've had a vaccine or been ill with flu or COVID-19 before, as immunity fades over time and the viruses change each year. Those eligible for both COVID-19 and flu vaccines this year include those aged 65 years and over, residents in a care home for older adults, persons aged 6 months to 64 years in a clinical risk group, and frontline health and social care workers."
Thank you, Jane. The next piece is headed, "Charities Team Up to Help Older People." Age Concern Hampshire has partnered with SSAFA, the Armed Forces charity, to boost support for older people. The collaboration will help Age Concern Hampshire provide more essential services to the elderly across the county. SSAFA supports serving personnel, veterans and their families. This new partnership will help fund various services and activities, allowing Age Concern Hampshire to reach more elderly people in need. Age Concern Hampshire aims to offer resources, care and companionship to help individuals maintain their independence and improve their well-being. The CEO of Age Concern Hampshire, Grant Reid, said SSAFA Hampshire's support comes at a critical time as we face an ever-growing demand for services for older people in Hampshire. With this support, we can ensure that our services reach even more individuals who are at risk of isolation and vulnerability. We are grateful for SSAFA Hampshire's partnership, which will make a real difference to the lives of many older residents across the county. The charity is also calling on other organisations to support its work. Heather, please.
NHS Skills Bootcamp to fill vital support roles. NHS trusts across the Solent region have launched a free training programme to fill hundreds of vacant support worker roles. The NHS Support Worker Skills Bootcamp aims to prepare candidates for jobs in Southampton and surrounding areas. The course, which runs from January the 13th to January the 24th, is the first of its kind and offers intensive in-person training. A spokesperson for the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust said, "Our NHS support workers play a vital role in the day-to-day care of patients and the smooth running of our services. This boot camp is an innovative response to critical workforce gaps and demonstrates the power of regional collaboration. And we're excited to welcome new candidates into these fulfilling roles that make a real difference in our community. Despite being core to healthcare services, support worker roles are among the most understaffed positions in the region. Local NHS trusts aim to address this issue by offering a secure career pathway with opportunities for professional growth." And the chair of the Solent Growth Partnership Business Board, Rachel Randall, said, "This skills bootcamp is about more than fulfilling vacancies. It's about creating a supportive pathway to meaningful careers in the National Health Service For job seekers or anyone considering a career change, this programme is an incredible opportunity to contribute to your community, gain valuable qualifications and make a difference. The boot camp provides level 2 and level 3 qualifications through expert-led sessions. Upon completion, candidates will be guaranteed interviews with NHS trusts. The National Health Service is looking for candidates who are naturally caring and empathetic, hard-working, resilient, flexible, and committed to delivering exceptional patient care. And support worker roles offer clear progression pathways with potential to specialise in patient care, advisory positions, or facilities management. And participants can also benefit from NHS employment perks, including pension schemes and the satisfaction of contributing to a healthier community. Can I add something to that article?
Yes, please do.
One of my children has recently had a real crisis, and he and his wife would not have been able to go home and be safe without daily three-quarter-hour visits from support workers.
Oh.
They are wonderful.
Yes.
So if you know anyone who might want to apply for this, advise them to do it.
Oh, bless. Thank you, Heather. Noel, please.
Alcohol-linked deaths shock. A record number of people died in Hampshire as a direct consequence of drinking alcohol last year, new figures show. Alcohol Change UK said these deaths were an avoidable tragedy, and the charity called for further action on the marketing, labelling and pricing of alcohol. Figures from the Office of Health Improvement and Disparities show there were 169 deaths in Hampshire wholly caused by alcohol consumption in 2023. This was up from 165 deaths the year before and was the highest since comparable records began in 2006. Across the South East, there were 1,147 deaths in 2023. The national number of deaths reached 8,274 last year, a 5% jump from the year before and the highest since records began. The pandemic caused a significant rise in these deaths, with last year's figures up 42% on 2019. Dr. Richard Piper, Alcohol Change UK chief executive, said, "Every time someone dies from alcohol, it is an avoidable tragedy." He added, "There are millions of us whose lives are negatively affected by alcohol, be that through hangovers, overspending, underperforming at work, or just not being fully present for our friends or family. None of this is inevitable, and we are seeing a growing acceptance, particularly among younger generations, that alcohol is an optional, not essential part of our lives. These cultural shifts are possible, and even more so when systemic changes are made."
Thank you. And Noel, Jane, please.
And now, community dining has a friendly flavour. A Winchester cafe has launched a new initiative to bring people together over the simplest and greatest of life's pleasures, food. The monthly community dinners held at a Roast coffee shop on Stockbridge Road are essentially dinner parties with a maximum of 12 guests who book online and do not know each other beforehand. Hosted by one of the cafe's owners, Oliver Ballantyne, a 26-year-old chef, the event is designed to bring people together through healthy and hearty food. All of this will set diners back just £10 per head. Explaining the ethos behind his brainchild, Oliver said, "With the aim of our community dinners is to create a community. The idea of people breaking bread together, reaching across the table, chatting. You know, some of them may never have met each other, and now here you are talking. In this way, if someone needs something, you might know that person because you're made a bond here. We want to get more people together. There is something quite special in sharing good food and enjoying the conviviality together, and you don't have it elsewhere. I was lucky enough to be invited to the first experimental version of the dinners on December the 12th where there were six of us in total, including Oliver's co-owner, Nick Sweeten, and guest chef, Olivia Barboza-Waddington. Also present was 24-year-old Mona Wieland, a Swiss BA student at Winchester University, and Sebastian Hall, a Chronicle reporter. Notwithstanding the bleak winter weather outside, the atmosphere was cosy and entering the cafe was like walking into a familiar living room. The Indian-inspired menu, all plant-based, consisted of sweet potato kale and chickpea curry for starters, coconut curry and pakora for the main course, and caramelised plantain with turmeric ice cream for dessert. Everything was made from scratch, on-site, by Oliver and Olivia just before we arrived, and it was all utterly delicious. Furthermore, it was all gluten-free except for the pakora. We want everybody to feel included and comfortable to join our community dinners, Oliver said. That is why everything is plant-based, and we'll do our best to keep providing a gluten-free alternative. The next communal dining experience at Roest has already been scheduled for February the 6th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. For this next instalment, the dishes will be of North African inspiration. Tickets are available for booking on Roest's social media channels at the cost of £10 plus a booking fee. And this is accompanied by some pictures of a delightful, delicious-looking evening in a beautiful atmosphere at Roest. Three little tables pushed together, lots of lights sparkling above, candles on the table, and lots of soup to which you can help yourself, or it might be curry to which you can help yourself, water, and some other delicious-looking meals as well, and a very happy look of group of people chatting together.
I bet, yes. Mm-hmm. Right, my piece is headed Science Comes to Life for Pupils at Centre. Excuse me. Winchester Primary School has partnered with a children's charity to bring science to life for its pupils. Winnell Primary School and Wonder Seekers, the charity behind the Winchester Science Centre, have been working for 18 months to provide enhanced science experiences for pupils. This partnership ensures that every child at the school has multiple opportunities each year to engage with the science at no cost to their families. Sally Peckett, head teacher at Winnell, said, "I am delighted to be working in partnership with Wonder Seekers to further enhance learning opportunities for all our pupils, both inside and outside the classroom. Developing partnerships was highlighted as a key strength of the school at our recent Ofsted report, and it is clear to see the many benefits partnerships such as this give pupils in Winnell. Wonder Seekers has been working with communities to increase access to science experiences in areas where this has traditionally been limited." Head of Equity, Community and Outreach, Andy Keane, said, "At Wonder Seekers, we know that inspirational science experiences can inspire children and enable them to develop skills to help them lead happier and healthier lives. We have loved working with the children and staff at Winnell Primary School over the past 18 months, and we can't wait to see what new adventures we'll be getting up to in 2025. In the last year alone, the children at Winnell have visited Winchester Science Centre on school trips, been given a free family summer visit ticket, taken part in several projects involving topics such as caterpillars and satellites, had a visit from a mobile planetarium, and enjoyed a Christmas science show. Pupils in Year 5 have also completed a Sound of Biodiversity project across the school site with university researchers, which resulted in the design of a funded £12,000 wildlife walk that is opening later in the year. The school has also developed links with Winchester College, Integrate Dance and Pimlico Opera to give the pupils opportunities in street dance, singing and the classics." Heather, please.
Rare chance to see celebrated creations. Works by a celebrated artist will be brought together for a public display for the first time, but it could also be the last. Hans Köper Resurface will feature three murals that were all previously displayed in private United Kingdom locations. Winchester's Worthy-Down Barracks, a Yorkshire secondary school, and the entrance to a London office. So we're talking about murals placed on external walls of buildings, just not sort of fabric things.
Ah, right.
The new exhibition at the Gallery at the Ark, Winchester, on Wednesday, January the 22nd, will also feature more than 20 of Hans Köper's pots and items that have rarely, if ever, been on public display. And accompanying them are photographs of Köper taken by his wife Jane in his Digswell studio in Hertfordshire around the time he was making the murals. The famous German-British ceramicist fled to the United Kingdom from Nazi Germany after his Jewish father's suicide, but was arrested as an enemy alien and sent to an internment camp in Canada. Köper returned to the United Kingdom after the Second World War, became a British citizen, and went on to become one of the most influential artists of the 20th century. The murals were a touchstone in his career. Made shortly after his first solo exhibition, they heralded a new, experimental phase and were created in his new Digswell studio. All were commissioned for buildings or spaces constructed in the 1960s. Kirsty Rudder, Visual Arts Exhibition Manager at Hampshire Cultural Trust, which manages the Gallery at the Ark, said, "Our original ambition was to have the privilege of being able to display one of Köper's murals in our exhibition, and we are now in the unprecedented position where we will be displaying all three. We could not be more thrilled that the gallery will be the first and only venue ever to display these unique works together. When the exhibition comes to a close in March, all three murals will go their separate ways." The exhibition is made in collaboration with the AGC Museum in Winchester, the Crafts Study Centre in Farnham, and the Köper Estate, with additional loans from York Museums Trust and private lenders. To celebrate one of Britain's greatest and most innovative ceramicists, a wide range of events and activities for visitors of all ages will be available throughout the exhibition run. And there's also a portrait of pots of really interesting shapes. Some are very long and narrow and beautifully curved, and some have strange angles. So I do hope that visitors will be able to touch these items.
Thank you, Heather. Noel, please.
Mystery winner scoops a lotto million. A mystery woman from Hampshire has won £1 million after matching five numbers and the bonus ball in the National Lottery. The woman, known only as Mrs. F, purchased the winning ticket for the draw on Saturday, November the 30th. The Hampshire local, who played a personal selection of sentimental numbers, has become one of over 9 million players that win each week on the National Lottery's range of games. Interactive winners have their opportunity to release their names, remain anonymous, or, like this winner, release some details through partial publicity. Andy Carter, a senior winners advisor at Allwyn, operator of the National Lottery, said, "Amazing news for Mrs. F, who has become £1 million richer overnight. Huge congratulations." Readers can buy and check their tickets online by downloading the National Lottery app or at nationallottery.co.uk, as well as in shops.
Thank you, Noel. Jane, please.
And here we have highs and lows for local property. The cheapest and most expensive areas in Winchester to buy a property have been revealed. Anyone hoping to buy a home for less than £500,000 will be short for choice in Winchester District, according to the latest stats. A new report from Online Marketing Surgery, which used property data from the Office for National Statistics, looked at the median house prices for every neighbourhood in all local authorities. The cheapest neighbourhood in the Winchester area was Bishop's Waltham and Waltham Chase, with the average house costing just over £350,000 as of March 2024. By living further from the city, buyers saved themselves an average of £200,000. Also at the cheaper end of the scale were Wickham, £368,000, and Stanmore, the latter much closer to the city centre and costing on average £355,000 for a home. Properties in New Alsford, Coldon Common, Hursley, Winchester West and Winchester Central all cost between £500,000 and £600,000 on average. Winchester North and Sparsholt, Swanmore, Westmeon and Itchen Abbas came up top as the most expensive areas, costing buyers more than £600,000. At the top of the list, properties in Springvale and Itchen Abbas cost an average of £65,625 in March 2024.
Thank you, Jane. Well, I'm sorry that's all that we have for you this week. But before we go, another reminder that if you have any problems with your recording, the contact number is on the key fob attached to your memory stick. Now, would you please put the memory stick and the address label in the wallet when you finish with it? Return it to us as soon as possible. Now, thanks to all our support team for the preparation and dispatch of this edition. And, of course, many thanks to our readers today. Heather.
Goodbye.
Noel.
Goodbye.
Jane.
Goodbye.
And from me, Peter. Until the next time, goodbye.